St. Gregory Nazianzen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is a feast day of one of those bishops, confessors, and doctors of the Church whom we honor in white vestments throughout the year. The Greeks call our saint, who was from the Eastern Rite, St. Gregory the Illuminator, because he illuminated or lit up the world by his true Catholic doctrine against the heresies of his day. And he wrote very beautifully about how holy baptism makes us to be shining bright with light, actually to share in Almighty God's supernatural life. But for our purposes, we could look upon today's saint and remember him. It's good to get to know your saints over the years. We could try to remember him as the patron saint of friends. Do you have a friend? Most of us during our entire lives are blessed by having friends. Sometimes we might have a really good friend who's a lifelong friend. And sometimes we might have friends for a while, and then as we grow up or maybe move away, we lose touch or sort of outgrow friendships. But God is good in that he often sends us good and edifying friends. Of course, we have to be careful. There's always a danger to run into bad friends who aren't really our friends at all and who try to drag us down and take us away from God. Those are the kinds of friends we should flee from. Sometimes, even between very good friends, there's a problem or a misunderstanding. Today's saint is a symbol of that. And he was not only a wonderful example for how to have a good Catholic friend, but also he serves, I think, for us today as an example of how to treat our enemies. Indeed, you could say this about him. If you can forgive your friends, it's no problem at all to forgive your enemies. This is his story. He lived way back when, at the end of the persecutions, and he had the great grace that both his father and his mother were saints. And his daddy was an important man. He had a big farm, and he was a magistrate. And according to the custom of the day, when the persecutions were over, he was elected to be the bishop. And so his father actually was a bishop, and he stayed as a bishop till he was a very old man. Well, his father sent his son, Gregory, to study at the university at Athens, the capital of Greece. And there he met another fine young man who was a strong Catholic too. Only remember, back then they weren't baptized yet. That was the problem of St. Augustine. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday. But in any case, they were catechumens studying to be baptized and led very good lives. Well, the friend whom he met was named Basil. And as it happened, not only his parents, but even his grandmother were canonized saints. And they both came from rather large families. And they were very serious about being Christians, keeping the Catholic faith, and staying away from the occasions of sin. They were the very good schoolmates together, and they helped each other with their studies. They say that of them, they only knew two streets in the city of Athens, the one that led to church and the street that led to school. And they never went anywhere else because they knew they had no business going anywhere else, and if they did, they would get themselves into trouble. So they stayed away and they encouraged each other. Now, they had another classmate in their same year, in their same class, who was from a very important family. He was a prince of the imperial family, and his name was Julian. And Julian was an odd sort of a character. He didn't pay attention in class, and he laughed a lot when he shouldn't have, and he talked out loud, and he was very disrespectful. And he grew up to be Julian the Apostate, the emperor who tried to turn the empire back to being pagan, and he gave up his holy Catholic faith to worship devils. He turned out very poorly indeed. But not our friends, Gregory and his friend Basil. They were so serious about the faith that later on, when they finished learning everything they could learn, and they got themselves baptized because they were old enough then, then they founded a sort of a monastery or a hermitage together, just the two of them. Well, they lived on one side of the stream, and then some of their relatives, some of the ladies in the family, their sisters, they lived on the other side. And they kind of took care of them. They took care of their food and cooking and clothing and things like that. And meanwhile, the two saints on the other side of the water, they just were did holy things all day long. They prayed and they read and they studied and they did manual labor. Well, they had a happy life like that for several years, but then there were all these problems in the church. And one day, St. Gregory, whose father, after all, was a bishop, came to get Basil and say, Basil, I'm afraid that you're going to have to leave because they need you, because people are trying to destroy the Catholic faith and teach false doctrine that our Lord's not really God. That's the Arian heresy. And so, for their whole life long, these two would have to often leave their quiet and their peace and their prayers to go help out the church when there were difficulties or problems. As it turned out, of the two, our saint today was a poet. He was a very quiet, we say, contemplative type. He really did like to just be by himself as a hermit, and he wrote very beautiful things. The other one, Basil, he was more active. He was more outgoing. He was an organizer and a worker and a doer and a fighter, too, against error. And both of them ended up becoming bishops, and Gregory ended up being ordained a priest almost by force. That's how they used to do priests in the old days. They would see somebody and they would think, he'd make a good priest. Well, let's make him be a priest. And they would be sort of a little group, and they would say, now, right, you're going to be the priest, we've decided. And he'd say, but I'm not worried. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, in you go. And they would take him into the church and ordain him. So that's how it was done sometimes during that era. It's a curious thing for us to think of today. And that's how Gregory was ordained a priest. And later on, St. Basil, his friend, forced him to be a bishop. And he never did want to be a bishop and didn't think he would be very good at it. As it turns out, he actually was pretty good at it when he had to. And there was a misunderstanding over that, and there were some hurt feelings, and their friendship almost ended. They forgave each other, but they say it was never the same. Sometimes when you have a really big fight, it's hard to put things back together again. But in any case, since both of them were friends, they didn't hold a grudge, and they still helped each other out, sometimes leading a quiet life away from the world as a monk or a hermit, and sometimes right in the middle of the battle. One time, St. Gregory was forced to go to the capital of the empire called Constantinople, and there he had to take care of the Catholics who were left. For 30 or 40 years, everybody, like today, had become a heretic. No one had the true faith. And all of the beautiful churches, like today, were occupied by the false religion. And so Gregory had to go stay in a house with his relatives, and he had a chapel there. Well, pretty soon he started to preach, and he preached so beautifully, and he taught so clearly, and he knew so much about everything. The people came to listen just to hear him speak. And then as they listened, they needed a place, so they turned the house into a church. And then that house church became full to bulging, and people started to think, I guess I shouldn't be a heretic. And they gave up their new false religion, and they went back to being Catholics. And that was all because Basil had forced his friend Gregory to be a bishop, even though he didn't really want to. Now, while that was going on, St. Gregory was very poorly treated. They would throw garbage at him in the street and make false accusations and things. And then finally, one day, they actually hired a wretched young man to assassinate our saint. Well, the plot got out, and what do you think happened? Gregory publicly forgave the young man, who by right should have been put to death, and he gave him a job and he took care of him. Everybody was astounded. Nobody could understand, why is he so forgiving? Only they didn't know that Gregory had a whole lifetime of forgiving, because he would always forgive his friend. And so it was a little bit easier for him to forgive his enemies. And he said, come now, to people, he would say, by the way they have treated us, meaning trying to kill us actually, they have proven who their master is. By the way we treat them, let us prove to them who our master is, our forgiving Lord Jesus Christ. That was always the attitude that he took. Now, when he was successful and he had converted the whole city and all the churches went back to being Catholic again, then all of the clergy came back, and there were several different men, and they all wanted to be bishop of the city. And they were having nice fights, as people will, and they're probably sending out emails, and then there were newsletters that were sent out, and there were lawsuits and great carrying on. And Gregory announced one day, he said, I don't want to fight for my church. If someone else wants to be the bishop, that's fine with me. I'll just go back to my little hermitage. And that's what he did. He had done his job, and nobody said thank you. He just packed his little suitcase and took the first train back home again, and he was perfectly content for the rest of his days. I think you'll agree, ours is a rather unusual saint, but keep this in mind. He's the patron saint of friends, and he shows us that it's ever so important to forgive our friends and not to hold a grudge. And if we do, maybe our Lord will give us the grace one day even to forgive our enemies. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.